Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, and we'll continue our study there. The book of Philippians. We're looking at chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them all but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In verse 3 of this same chapter, Paul states the position of God's people. He begins by saying, "For we are the circumcision," that is, we are the true people of God, which worship God through the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this statement that has in it these three particular truths simply means that the true people of God, the born-again children of God, are people who worship God through the Spirit. They are people who rejoice in Christ Jesus. That simply means that they exult in the person, the power, and the glory of Jesus Christ, and they have no confidence in the flesh. This word confidence in verse 3 means to persuade or win by words. So in essence, Paul is saying the flesh has not persuaded us. We do not trust what the flesh can do. This then is the position of God's people. We worship God through the Spirit. We exult in the person of Jesus Christ, and we do not trust in the flesh. We have not let it persuade us that we can be saved by keeping the law. Paul continues in verse 4 by stating his past before salvation. He writes, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," and this is a different word that's translated confidence here. It's a word that means a standing under. That which is set or stands under, a foundation, the origin, the beginning. So Paul is saying that I could have confidence in the flesh. That is, if I wanted to use the flesh as a basis or as a foundation for claiming salvation, I could have done that. Doesn't mean he would have been right. He simply says, I could have used as a basis for my claiming salvation all of the things that I accomplished in the flesh before I came to know Jesus Christ. He writes, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's simply pointing out that he was in a position, if there ever had been a man in the position, to trust or put his confidence in the flesh. He said, yet if anyone ever had reason to hope that he could save himself, it would be I. And then Paul lists all the things in which he might have trusted. Now notice, I was circumcised the eighth day. Circumcision is an ancient religious ordinance that started, as far as the Jewish religion is concerned, with Abraham, continued with Isaac and Jacob, and then was included in the law of Moses. It is ancient. It had the blessing. It had the instruction from Jehovah God. It was not something that someone thought of and hoped would make them pleasing to some God. It was ancient. It had been practiced at the direction of God by the people of God. Even Jesus Christ, on the eighth day of his life, had been circumcised. It was an initiatory rite that must be observed in order to come into Judaism and worship God according to the law of Moses. It was fleshly of the flesh. It was a ritual, a rite, an ordinance. And Paul said, I was circumcised the eighth day. And he's pointing out now all the things that he might trust in, that he might have as a foundation for his claim to salvation if he had not come to know Christ, if he didn't know better. He's saying, now here's what I was in the flesh. Here's what I could trust in. Here's what I could use as a basis to claim righteousness in the sight of God. I was circumcised the eighth day. Then Paul wrote, I was born into God's chosen race of the stock of Israel. This word stock means genus. It means a particular race of people. And he simply means, I was born into God's chosen race. And I think this is the attitude that Jesus spoke against when he said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And admonished him that because he had been born into the Jewish race was not a sufficient basis for salvation, but that he must be born again. This is what Jesus meant when he spoke to Nicodemus. And Paul is saying, I was circumcised the eighth day. I was born into God's chosen race. And I was not only born into God's chosen race, but I was born into one of the choicest tribes of God's chosen race, the tribe of Benjamin. A tribe is simply a union of men according to ties of blood and descent. You could not simply decide to join the tribe of Benjamin. And it's one of the tribes that seems to have been obedient to God. And Paul said, I belong to that tribe by birth. Then he said, I possess a true genealogy. Lately, we have gotten involved in studying our genealogy. Many people are involved in this today. And I rather suspect that sometimes if a genealogy pleasing to them cannot be obtained in fact, then they strive to build one in fiction. But Paul said, I was the Hebrew son of Hebrew parents. I'm not faking my genealogy because I don't have to. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was born into the very nation of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was an Hebrew of the Hebrews. And then Paul writes, I also lived by the highest religious standards of the day. As touching the law, a Pharisee. There were many different groups in the religion of Judaism by the time Paul lived. Sadducees, Pharisees, and a number of other smaller and lesser sects. And yet Paul is saying, I was, according to the law, a Pharisee. He did not choose the easy religious road, but had become a Pharisee, which, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, was binding a heavy task upon his shoulders. A Pharisee was the strictest of all of the sects of Judaism. And Paul said, I was a Pharisee. I lived what I professed. I lived by a most rigid set of rules and regulations. The Bible tells us that he also struggled ardently against what he perceived to be heresy. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. That which threatened what Paul believed in as a Jew was bitterly opposed by Paul. He took no lenient attitude toward this new sect called Christians, but went into the places where they met, dragged them out, then convinced a group of men to stone them to death, and then put his stamp of approval upon their deaths by holding the coats of those who stoned them. Paul was no half-hearted follower of the Judaic system. And Paul writes, I was a law keeper, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Paul said, I was blameless. The righteousness which is in the law is the righteousness that you assigned to me. It is not the righteousness of God. But Paul is simply saying, I kept the law according to man's interpretation of the law. To put it into modern day language, Paul is saying, I didn't steal, and I didn't lie, and I didn't commit adultery, and I didn't get drunk, and I didn't go to movies, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. I lived a blameless life. I lived a life so far above criticism that no one could find fault with me in my life. Now, Paul said, as far as a record to stand on is concerned, as far as confidence in the flesh is concerned, I think I had a better chance than most men. You look at me, Paul said, and you'll see a man who had a reason to build his hope of salvation upon what he was able to do through the flesh. But what did Paul think of these things after he realized the person and the power of Jesus Christ? Now notice in verses 7 and 8, but those things were gain to me, that is, those things that I considered to be an asset to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, I did count all of these things that I have listed as assets. But he said, as far as I can see now, I count them useless. They're not worth anything to me concerning my salvation. He said that he could see that they were useless as a means of salvation. Not only those things that he has enumerated, but he said, I count all things as valueless. More than that, I count everything as loss. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Not just the things that I've mentioned. Compared to Christ's value, they were without value. Compared to what Christ could do for him, these people were without any, these assets rather, were without any value whatsoever. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, because of the surpassing value and worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul said, I had these assets, and they seemed to be of tremendous value. My birth, my circumcision, my relationship to the tribe of Benjamin, my genealogy, my Phariseeism, my work, my zealous work as a Pharisee. These were assets, and they seemed to have tremendous value. But then I met Jesus Christ, and I saw the glory and the power of the Son of God, and then all these things lost their value, and they were valueless. They were a loss to me. Paul said, and for his sake I have put aside all other things, for nothing has real and lasting value but those things that pertain to Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I do count them but dung. The word dung means dregs or refuse. Literally, it meant the things that were thrown to the dogs. That might not work too well in our day and age, because some dogs eat better than some children do in our society. But in the days when Paul lived, the dogs were scavengers. They didn't get anything that was of any value at all. And Paul said, my, how I gloried in all these things that I've mentioned, how I valued them. He said, when I met Jesus Christ and saw who he was, when I understood the plan of salvation, that it's by being born again, that it's by faith and not by the works of the flesh, when I saw that it's by faith and not by the works of the law, then I understood the value of all these things I had bragged about and gloried in as being worth less than those things that are thrown to the dog. Paul said, I understood then that I couldn't possess my righteousness and the righteousness of Christ. Paul said, I can't stand on the foundation of being circumcised and being a Jew. I can't stand on the foundation of keeping the law and being a Pharisee. I can't stand on those foundation, on that foundation and those facts, and also stand on the finished work of Christ. Paul said, those things that I have enumerated, they are things that give me self-righteousness. But what I receive when I trust Christ are the things that God gives me by faith, which is the righteousness of God. You must give up your self-righteousness, or you cannot possess the righteousness of Christ. Paul said that I may win Christ. The word win means to acquire, to gain. And what he's saying is, I gave up everything I ever counted as an asset that I could have Christ, because you can't have both. Now listen to me this morning. There is a self-righteousness that we may acquire. We may have been born into a Christian home where prayer was said each night, where the Bible was honored and revered, and where the name of Jesus Christ was uttered and blessed. And it's possible for us to attend all of the services of a church. And it's possible for us to have participated in the ordinances of that church, to have been baptized, to have received the supper, the ordinance of baptism, and the Lord's Supper. It may be possible that we could have received all of these things, but all of these without Christ are works of the flesh. Paul said in an earlier verse of Scripture that circumcision, whenever a person was circumcised in order to be saved, it was nothing more than mutilation of the flesh. And I think the Word of God teaches that when we observe an ordinance, hoping that that ordinance will bring us salvation, or trusting it for salvation, it is no more than a dunking in water, and eating the unleavened bread and the fruit of the grape does us no more good than eating cornbread and buttermilk. These things, Paul said, I counted them but loss for something that is more excellent, and that is the righteousness of God, which is found by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said in verse 9, and be found in Him, and actually be in union with Him, and be found at death in Him. Paul, how do you want to be found? How do you want to be found in life? How do you want to be found in death? In Him. In Him. In Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man be in the church, he's the same creature. If any man be in the baptistry, he's the same creature. If any man be in religion, he's the same creature. If any man be in a strict observance of moral and civil law, he's a law abider. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Paul said, I want to be found in Him. Why, Paul, you mean you want to forsake your circumcision? Paul said it is not an asset. I count it no more than something that should be fed to the dogs. But Paul, what about being a Jew? What about being an Israelite? A Hebrew of the Hebrews? A Pharisee? What about all these things, Paul? Paul said, I'd rather lose all of them and be found in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws. Because Paul realized that law righteousness is self-righteousness. But he says to be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which comes through faith in the Son of God, the righteousness which is of God by faith, the real right standing with God, which originates from Him and rests in Him and rests on Him. What is righteousness through faith? This is what Paul said. I want to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What is righteousness through faith? It involves, first of all, in forsaking claim to all righteousness through that which can be accomplished in the flesh. It is a repudiation of all righteousness that we can accumulate by our righteous living. Righteousness through faith is repudiating religion. Righteousness through faith is repudiating law. Righteousness through faith is repudiating ceremonies, and righteousness through law is repudiating rites, and righteousness through law is repudiating rituals and counting all of them as refuse. And then recognizing the glorious power and person of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, we turn to Him in faith, through faith, and by faith. Receive Him as our Savior. Rest in Him, trust in Him, rejoice in Him, glory in Him, love Him, praise Him, serve Him, and claim that in Him all things that are wonderful and glorious. And in so doing, we become justified by faith. It is claiming by faith, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. For He is the fulfillment of the law, and He is the end of the law. To him that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. There is the work of the law and the curse of the law. But there is no law given, no ritual set, no ordinance ordered that can take away our sins and make us righteous in the sight of God. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you repudiated whatever background you might possess? Have you said these things are nothing but loss? They're refuse. They're spiritual garbage. Literally, that's what Paul said. All of the things I'd once loved and trusted in, they were just spiritual garbage. So far as my salvation was concerned.